never finished. It's not uncommon for me. I was telling you about this story in Africa when that lady was healed who had the severe arthritis and went away on the Boda Boda. That I was asking the Lord about, Lord, I want to take their faith back, their childlike faith. And he said, you can't take what they have back, but you can take the childlike expectation that you have now. And then it reminded me of the whole passage in Ezekiel 47 about, just goes, you know, the further you went, the deeper. So the deeper you go, you know, if you want to go further, you got to go deeper. And the Lord said to me, but if you want to go further, you got to go deeper. But the deeper you go, the simpler it gets. I think that's where some people get mixed up. They'll say, well, it's really a deep truth. I think it's like something hard for people to understand. If it's hard for them to understand, then it can't be part of the gospel. Jesus said that we're sheep, that we're not spiritual rocket scientists. So he made things simple so we'd all understand it. So the deeper you go, the simpler it gets in the things of the Lord. This is from Genesis 28. The story of Jacob's ladder. Then Jacob departed from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he came to a place and spent the night there because the sun had set, and he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to the heaven. Behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending upon it. Behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac, the land which you lie, which I give to you and to your descendants. Your descendants shall also be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread out to the west, to the east, the north, and the south. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord's in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And so the story of Jacob's ladder reminds me a lot of what charismatics pray often and talk about, having an open heaven and living under an open heaven. And that sometimes you're in meetings and there's just an open heaven, or situations of open heaven. And open heaven means there's just real clear communication and just divine activity. We talked about Jacob's ladder and angels ascending and descending. And so there's just things that are just happening in sort of an advanced level, kind of a powerful way. Sometimes people use the word portal when they're talking about an open heaven. John chapter 1. So this is when Jesus meets Nathanael. And Philip had found Nathanael, was telling him about that they felt they had found the Messiah. And he says to Nathanael, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and all the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nathanael said to him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip said to him, come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, behold, an Israelite, behold, in whom is no guile. And Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, behold, Philip called out when you were under the fig tree, and I saw you. Nathanael answered and said, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, behold, I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, and now you believe. He said, you shall see greater things than these. And then he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you shall see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That sounds like Jacob's ladder, doesn't it? Jacob has this dream, and he sees a ladder, and the ladder is extending from the earth to heaven, and angels ascending and descending. Now, this is an awesome place. This is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. But here, Jesus said to Nathanael, you're going to see more than this. You're going to see the heavens open up and angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So here's what I want you to understand. Jesus is Jacob's ladder. He was Jacob's ladder. It was a prophetic metaphor. Jesus is Jacob's ladder. And because you're in Christ, Jesus always lives under an open heaven. And therefore you do too. You don't have to pray for one. You just have to realize you walk in one. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ. You live in the biggest open heaven environment ever. And so angels are ascending and descending on your life because you're in Christ. So you have to begin to see yourself as God sees you. And again, God, how God sees you is a heavenly being who's both heavenly and earthly. A heavenly being that carries heaven with you, and you live under the open heaven, and there's just supernatural activity surround you, own you, happening, transitioning in your life constantly. You just have to stop and pay attention. And so you should expect the activity of heaven. And because you live in an open heaven, that's part of who you are in Christ, then you begin to see things from heaven's point of view. You begin to anticipate. All of a sudden, you begin to see things like angels. You begin to see. Jesus said he only did those things he saw the Father doing. He only said those things he heard the Father saying because he lived in an open heaven. You and I live in an open heaven. So we live seated in heavenly places in Christ in this open heaven reality, and the conversation of heaven is happening inside your mind, inside your being. So we don't ever want to translate anything from just earth's perspective. This is John chapter 3. This is John the Baptist speaking of Jesus. Verse 31, he who comes from above is above all. Now hear what he just said. He who comes from above is above all. There is no reason any Christian should ever be living under the circumstances. You may be in the midst of circumstances, but you should be living above those things. Because you get to live from heaven's perspective and with the anointing of heaven. The enablement of heaven, heaven's reality, to walk this out, because Christ is in you, living his life through you, and he lives a heavenly life incarnationally through our humanity. There's just all kinds of supernatural things going on in the context of your life. He who comes from above is above all. You know what it says about you in John 3? It says you're born again. You know, the word again is not really not there. It's the word born from above. You are born from above. That's what he said earlier in this chapter. You're born of the Spirit. You're born from above. Heaven's DNA is flowing in you now because you're in Christ. And as born from above, this is about you and in Christ. And he who comes from above is above all. He who's of the earth is from the earth and speaks of the earth. If that's all you ever do is speak the earth's reality, well, this is really hard, and this is this, and this is that, and this is that. That's who people who are of the earth have to do. Everything's evaluated from the outside in. Remember that. We'll use that term again in the next few days. From the outside in. Everything that you interpret truth from the outside in. But no matter what's going on around you, doesn't change the truth about him who's heavenly that lives in you. So what does he see? How does he see this? See, he who comes from above is above all. He was from the earth. He who is of the earth is from the earth and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. He who comes from above is above all. He who comes from heaven is above all. And you come from heaven. Every time you walk into Walmart, here comes somebody from heaven, living under an open heaven, in communication with heaven, in union with a heavenly being there. No telling what might happen. No telling how they might respond. No telling what they might do. See, you got to have that mindset. There's no telling what we might do. What Jesus has seen and heard from heaven's perspective, that he bears witness. And no man receives his witness. He who has received his witness has set his seal to this, that God is true. Jesus said, it says about Jesus, he who comes from above is above all, he who comes from heaven above all, and what he has seen and heard, that's what he bears witness. This is what the life of faith is about. Bearing witness of what we see and hear from heaven's perspective. That's the mind of Christ. That's what we're always repenting toward. Always. So what would happen if you've been transformed enough by the renewing of your mind that you've cultivated a renewed mind, which is the mind of Christ, enough to when you open the envelope and it says bad news, you immediately see that from heaven's perspective and not earth's. And instead of giving earth's report, you give heaven's report. Sometimes that report may be, look, I don't know, Lord, this is 5 loaves and 2 fish that needs much bigger. I have a clue what you're going to do, but I know that you're going to do something. Maybe that's all you know. But that's heaven's report. That's bearing witness of what you've seen and heard from him, and his perspective is always heavenly. Because that's where you sit. And that place where you sit is a place of rest and a place of reigning. And you can only reign in life from a resting position. Because if you don't reign in life from a resting position, you'll try to rest from a ruling position. Try to find rest by trying to control everything. That's miserable. But you carry such authority from that place of rest, heavenly places. So when you're bearing witness from, you know that you go in every situation that you're not, that's not, this is not in control. You and Christ, you're in the control here. Like, you're the dangerous thing here. Not that situation, not that person, because you're in union with Christ. And from that resting place, you live from the mind of Christ and from the capacity of Christ. On your life, there's angels ascending and descending, and you bear witness from that place. What if you were to start doing that immediately? Well, how fun would that be? That's the way Jesus lives. And the more we're conformed through the renewing of our minds, we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. We live by faith, but we're not transformed by faith. We're transformed by the renewing of our minds because we're constantly repenting, learning to live from the mind of Christ, from the faith of Jesus, bearing witness of what we see and hear from his perspective about every incident, every situation, every circumstance, every relationship, every issue. Okay? That's my story. I'm sticking to it. One of the things that Father Brett was saying was that he said, so repentance is like always turning toward, not turning from sin. We think repentance is turning from sin, but repentance is always turning towards him. See? And when you turn towards him, you turn from sin. If you try to turn from sin, you won't be able to do it. Haven't you done that before? Turned again and again, begged and promised, and you wouldn't do it again. I'm going to turn that sin. I'm not going to do it again. You've made more New Year's promises and stuff. You have to turn toward him. See, this is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. For they themselves report about us what kind of reception we had with you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Because they turned to God, they turned from idols, but it was about turning to God, not from something, but towards someone. That's victory. You turn towards someone, not from something. If you can't figure out, why can't I get rid of my temper? Because you keep trying to stop, and you can't. Your victory's in Him. Turn to Him. He's your victory, right? Yeah.
Amen.